If I just say, sorry, is everything good? You know? Well, what does the scripture say? Welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. We are answering another user-submitted question today. Let's get right into the question. And boy, this is a good one. This is one of those that I had when I was really starting to grow, and the Bible just gives a really good answer. So I'm excited to get into it. Let's see the question. This comes from our friend. She sent in questions before, and she says, if I sin, and then I realize with self-judgment and confess my sins to the Lord right after I sinned, do I avoid God's chastening in that very moment and restore fellowship? Excellent, excellent, excellent question. Because, and I know this person, and I know that she's growing, and she's learning and unlearning things, and she wants to grow. She wants to do better. So as she's doing these things, walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, that lust of the flesh keeps coming up. And so she's answering them as she's going. And this is a logical question as we're growing. If I just say, sorry, is everything good? You know, well, what does the scripture say? First of all, let me answer the last part of that question first, because I think that's where the clearest answer is, which said, do I avoid God's chastening in that very moment and restore fellowship? So let's talk about restoring fellowship. And that's found in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 9. I heard this definition of fellowship in college and I just really liked it. Fellowship is two fellows in a ship going in the same direction. I know, super simple, maybe even a little comedic, but it's right. Here's the verse that we build that off of. If we confess our sins, he, which is Jesus Christ, that's the whole theme here, starting from verse 1 in 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe the forgiving and the cleansing there brings you back into proper fellowship, because the word confess means to come to an agreement, okay? You have the same view about something. Let's go back to that illustration with a boat. We'll make it a canoe. We'll put yours truly in the back of the canoe, and we'll put my younger brother, Cody, in the front of the canoe. This is a real life story. We used to always go to the Hillsborough River State Park, and we would get in the canoes. And if you know anything about canoes, the guy in the front cannot be paddling on the same side as the guy in the back if you want to go straight. So if you're trying to make a straight line, you want somebody paddling on the left, somebody paddling on the right. And if you're paddling in motion, now you're really moving. You can really pick up speed because you're just pushing more and more water back underneath that canoe. But if you start paddling on the same side, if you're all paddling on the left side, you're going to start turning left, and you're going to keep turning left until you hit the bank, or you just keep going around and around and around. All your forward progress is stopped. Same thing if you paddle on the right side. You're going to just keep going in a right side circle until you hit the bank, or you just keep going and going and going. You're not going straight anymore. You're not moving forward. Now, if it's my desire in the back of the canoe to move forward and my brother doesn't do the things that are necessary for my will to get done, well, guess what? We're not going to be on the same page. Cody, switch. Come on. We got to go forward. Come on. There's going to be friction between us. But as soon as he gets that canoe paddle on the right direction and he's going with what I'm trying to do, we're moving forward again. There may be some hardness between us that we may have to resolve because of the silliness or whatever, but we're moving in the same direction again. Confession of sins is not merely the therapeutic, I'm sorry. It's coming to an agreement. God, what I have done, you say is sin. That's wrong. I agree with that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do this again. If we are truly sorry for what we're confessing, why would we want to do it again? I'm not saying you have to promise that you won't, but it's just natural that you would want to avoid that which brings friction between you and the Lord. So here we are, we're confessing our sins. I do believe that fellowship is immediate. Now here's the interesting part. Do we automatically get a get out of jail free card? Do we automatically avoid chastening? I think you'd be interested to see what the Bible says. Don't forget, if this is your first time here or you've been here before, make sure to hit the red subscribe button and the little notification bell. Set those notifications to all. That way, every time we post anything on the channel, you get an alert. Also, make sure that you like, comment, and share the video, because this is another way for us to reach more and more people here on YouTube. with the YouTube algorithm. We've also started a new Bibleline exclusive upload called Real Talks, and that's on all of our podcasting platforms. You can check that out with the link in the description. And don't forget, if you have a question yourself, send it to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to get you a written answer and even make a video just like today. Let's get back to today's answer. So I said earlier that it might surprise you what the scripture says, and I learned this by the process of communion, this next answer, which is the second part of the first part of her question. Let's go back to her question one more time. If I sin and then I realize with self-judgment and confess my sins to the Lord right after I've sinned, do I avoid God's chastening in that very moment and restore fellowship? Yes, you do restore fellowship in the act of proper confession. I don't know if you avoid God's chastening. The patterns in Scripture are not necessarily conducive to automatically we avoid any chastening. And let me show you what I mean by that here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we need to set a little bit of background here. Paul is, he mentions head coverings in the beginning. He talks about all sorts of stuff like that. But he's in verse 17, he begins talking about the Lord's Supper. And apparently, a lot of people were coming together at the Lord's Supper, and they're bringing, you know, their favorite dish. They're bringing something to get a little drunk on, and people are preferring themselves over another or one group over another. And it was like a buffet. It was like a meal, and it was a total abomination to what was originally intended for the Lord's Supper. So Paul goes through and he says, this was the proper method of it. This is what the Lord said. This is what it represents. In verse 26, he says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily. So there's a way that you can be at the Lord's Supper and not be in the right frame of mind. There were going to be things that were responsible to you. And you avoid that by verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, okay? So once a month here at Calvary, we do communion, and we set aside 2 or 3 minutes for people to pray and perform 1 John 1:9 to get right with the Lord, which they should be doing every day, but certainly before the Lord's Supper, and get in the right mindset, that proper fellowship with the Lord in order to partake in communion. Verse 29 says that there are some that are not going to do that, and there's going to be consequences. What are the consequences? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, what's the cause? That people are not properly before the Lord. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And this is not the little siesta that we all take Sunday afternoon between services. That means they're dead. But then 31 is here. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay, that's great. If we judge ourselves, then God's not going to have to bring judgment upon us. But when we are judged, yeah, 32 is still there. Okay? But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with the world. Now, there's a beautiful distinction here. The world is condemned into hell, because they do not have the blood of Christ, which is what communion is reminding us of, the price of which it cost Jesus to pay for our sin. The world is condemned. The believer, he can judge himself, and God will not judge him, but he will be chastened. We are chastened of the Lord. So, all that to say, and then Paul concludes here in 33 and 34 about how to properly prepare yourself for the Lord's Supper. But in conclusion, as we're answering our viewers' question, I don't think it's a good way to live our Christian life thinking that we can have our cake and eat it too. I don't really mean that phrase directly, but I think you understand what I mean. We can't just think of ourselves as sinning all the time and sinning all the time and sinning all the time, and then we're just going to say, I'm sorry, and have a real cathartic emotional apology, but then not expect God to do something. He needs to correct that behavior, because obviously we have a problem that needs to be solved. And I think that chastening is a guarantee. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that it is a guarantee. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So yes, just as our earthly fathers are supposed to discipline us, God will discipline us as well. And I think, I really do think some of the worst form of chastening in the beginning is that guilt. If you've ever struggled with sin before, it eats at you. It eats at you. You may do all the things on the outside correctly. Oh, you're at confession. Oh, you're taking communion. You're doing all these things. But you still know. You still got a problem with that sin. God knows it. The Holy Spirit, you're grieving him. And it eats away at you. And you're not really at peace. And it's a terrible thing. You don't get to experience the joy of your salvation now here on earth. But when you get right with God, even though it's a very raw and painful experience, sometimes you may have to confess that fault to another person to help you, whatever it may be specifically, or maybe you just need to have a real down-to-earth talk with the Lord. It's a painful process, but that chastening is supposed to yield about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Not righteousness of eternal life, but that separated life that we have as a result of Christ. I'll leave you with this in verse 11 of Hebrews 12. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, amen to that, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, which without no man shall see the Lord. This is very important to understand. There's a purpose to that chastening. There's a purpose to that rebuking from the Lord. I think it's naive to think, well, we've confessed it. We've immediately had a, you know, confession of it. Therefore, there's not going to be judgment or chastening. I can't give you a direct answer on it, but I can tell you there will always be chastening. That doesn't mean you're supposed to live in fear, but welcome it. God's not doing it because he hates you. He's trying to fix something. He's trying to get you on a good path. I hope that answers your question. If you have one, send it in to us. questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.